what's worse, a shaved lady mustache, which Scott has just informed us.
I don't even need to hear the other thing. That's worse
than a fully bleached blonde mustache, like on a Persian woman.
Ooh, you just named two bad things that I can't choose between.
Welcome back to What's Worse. With us today is special guest, one of my very good friends.
Yay.
Fellow funny lady. Kill me. Mayim Bialik, you guys. You might know her from being on, I think it's the number one TV show in the
number
world.
Number one comedy. In America.
In America, Big Bang Theory. I was sitting next to someone on a train in the UK recently. Big dude, like rugby player in a suit, like didn't belong in the suit. And he was watching Big Bang Theory on his laptop. And I had to say, I'm friends with. And I said some of them so it wouldn't sound so weird. I don't know anyone else. And then we got in a whole, and I became the authority on TV and how it worked. He had all these questions. And I was like, oh boy. She is the author of Boying Up and Girling Up. You might remember that book from before I had this podcast, but I moderated her panel at The Grove.
True story.
No big deal. And so we're going to dive right in. Mayim, you are a neuroscientist.
Yes. Yeah.
Fellow Jew.
Jewess.
That to me sounds anti-Semitic.
Oh, okay.
Don't you
Jew
think?
It is.
Jew it. Jew, but like pointed.
Yeah.
You're vegan.
Yep.
Kosher.
Yep.
These are not things that I do, but I am Jewish as well. So people are really ignorant about that. They'll be like, oh, can you have bacon? I'm like, yeah, we can all have bacon.
I've had three very educated good friends of mine ask me why Jews don't read the New Testament recently. It's not that I think they're ignorant. I think there's a lot of misinformation about Jews.
I think there's that. I think that's for anything. Like trans people, black people. Like everybody's got questions, but no one's allowed to ask. We don't read it because it's not our book.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, no insult. I'm sure it's great. It's not my book.
Are you? We don't know. And we don't care.
It's
I
not
want
our
you
thing.
To read it. Enjoy your religion.
We have other things.
I'll read parts of it for an understanding, but I don't read the New Testament.
I'll read the line that someone holds up on a sign at a football game.
John 3:16.
Yeah.
Yeah. People love that one. All right, Mayim. I always wonder, like, how jealous are the other apostles that, like, John got that? And, like, Luke is like, I'm just on someone's bicep. So we have culled questions.
Yes.
And thank you for these pumpkin cookies, which I dug into and you're like, oh, you're supposed
you
to
heat them
up.
Heat them up. Yeah.
I'm going to heat them up.
Because, yeah, it's pumpkin. Pumpkin everything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
People have written in questions. They've written in questions specifically for you. I have also taken a fine tooth comb and applied my own sensitivities. Like, I don't put in any bullshit questions about Blossom. I don't know how you are about that.
I'm fine about, I mean, whatever
really?
You, well.
I would snap.
Oh. No, I'm okay with, really, whatever you want, because this is your
Because I feel like people
show.
Ask it to be rude sometimes.
Oh.
I also feel like people, like,
Do you still wear a hat?
Yeah.
Like that?
There's one or two questions in there, but, like, anything that felt like it was dismissive. Like, I'm doing a movie with Mark Wahlberg right now, and they're like, oh, how's Marky Mark? And I'm like, that's obviously not going to get an answer.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of dealing with humanity. Sometimes people say really dumb things.
See? Wise Jew. DB Whiteside said, we're going to dive in with a lot of questions directed at you because you are a major celebrity. And people had, we had so many questions that I had to pay Emily overtime.
Wow.
So she would, that's not true.
Do you need me to chip in? Oh, okay.
Actually, that'd be great. I know you make a lot of money and like you're very low key about it, but you make so much.
It's awkward. I also pick up pennies off the ground and I keep them.
That's fair. You know what? Everyone needs a hobby. DB Whiteside says, hi, Mayim. I'm vegan. My 7-year-old daughter is also. I was just curious how you handle situations where your kids are at parties or friends' houses and they offer nothing vegan. My daughter never eats the non-vegan items and doesn't have the desire to, but she gets upset at the fact that she can't have a treat while everyone else does.
You need to send her with her own treat.
Done. That's a practical mom right there.
Well, and let her know that not everyone in the world is going to be sensitive to her particularities. Welcome to the world.
You are my kind of vegan. You don't put it on anyone
else. No. I know it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Some people show they love animals by eating them.
It's true.
I show I love animals by not eating them.
I don't eat
all. It takes all kinds.
It does take all kinds. And maybe you're doing your part in other ways. I'm talking about myself. Like,
sure.
I'm not a vegan, but I rescued a dog and I recycle. So. I have a friend who's a vegetarian, and every time we'd always go out to eat, I remember she'd always be like, I'm fine, I'll find something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and my uncle's kosher, I'll find something.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Pretty much. I mean, if you live in LA where everybody's got, like, I'm this sensitive. I don't eat this part. I don't eat the right. Yeah, like it can get really, really bananas. But yeah, I don't want to raise. I don't want to raise entitled children who are like, "Where's my vegan selection?" It's like probably nowhere. But like sometimes, you know, Denny's will carry a vegan patty. If not, you're gonna eat French fries and a green salad and pasta marinara, and that's just
amazing.
The road trip. Exactly. Yeah, it's like party food.
Yeah. That's perfect advice.
Thanks.
Send a snack, or your daughter can learn to.
Well, no, you have to send a snack or speak ahead to the parent. And the fact is, if you're sending them to places where people are like, I don't believe in being vegan, don't let your kid play there.
Yeah, if you don't
like them.
Or stay.
Exactly. Like, if they're that jerky that they're not going to be accommodating and nice.
Sounds like you got to move, yeah. D.B. White says.
That's it. Give it all up.
All of it. Tell no one. Sarah Lewis _5 says, when Sheldon and Amy reunited, how many takes of the kiss did you and Jim have to do? Because it was a really long kiss. And then she just wrote, whoo!
I think she means Amy and Sheldon. I think Amy went away and Sheldon, like, showed up at her door. And it was a very long kiss. Like, uncomfortably long, meaning it was funny long. Like, someone was, like, walking through and trying to insert, like, you know, kiss a little longer commercial kind of length.
Oh, yeah.
We did many takes. I didn't keep a journal with, like, you know, hash marks of how many takes we did. But we did many takes, as you have to.
Five?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Trying to answer the question.
It's awkward, you know, and Jim's very, you know, he's from Texas. He's a well-mannered boy. So, like, it's awkward to kiss someone that you're not in a relationship with. Like, we're not like, woo, yeah, not
and
a problem.
He's gay.
Also true.
So, probably not his favorite thing.
This is a very interesting question, which we'd probably have to ask him. Yeah, I mean, at that point, like, you know, you're acting.
Right.
But yeah, I sometimes think of that because, like, if you kiss a dude and he's heterosexual and you are, or I don't know what the kids are calling it these days, cis, you know, something.
Yeah. Regardless, we're going to get hate mail.
Yeah. I'm sure. No, but like, I always wonder that, like, oh, if someone's but it's still a kiss, is still a sexual erogenous zone.
I do think it separates the real actors from the, like,
you're going to say the real gay people from the people who are like, maybe.
True homosexuals. Because, like, if I had to kiss a girl in a scene, I would. But then there are people that, like, major actors that have to do, like, major love scenes.
Rachel Weisz just did that movie where she plays an Orthodox Jewish woman kissing another Orthodox Jewish woman.
What is it called? Emily's talking through
Deception. Something.
Disobedience.
Sorry, the other.
Movie of 2018.
I didn't watch it. I'm a little nervous to watch it.
Yeah, no, it's a whole bag.
Yeah, anyway.
But that's the answer.
That's the answer. Approximately five takes.
And Jim Parsons is a pro.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Soulman77, hi, Mayim.
Hi.
This question I rolled my eyes at, but I'm going to ask it for you because I feel like this is up your alley. I got nothing. What's your favorite video game ever?
Oh, this is a great question.
I'm going to go to the bathroom
while
you answer
this. I'll be here. You know, I mean, I grew up, I remember when Pong came into my life, and I played, you know, I loved Q-Bert. I'm sorry. I did like Q-Bert, and we used to go to the cleaners on Melrose. I grew up in the Melrose Fairfax area here in L.A., and they had a Q-Bert machine. They had Galaga. I'm also a Ms. Pac-Man person.
Okay, so nothing new. Yeah.
No,
years.
No. I mean, my kids tried to teach me to play Fortnite. We actually posted a video on my YouTube channel. It makes no sense. I mean, like,
it's too much.
It's too much.
It's too real.
Everything's not working for me in that. But yeah, I'm more of an old school video game person for sure. Yeah.
Okay, that's your answer. Soulman77.
And I mean Tetris, like on a desert island, alone, Tetris.
Tetris right now, forever, and any variation of Tetris, block, build, crush block, whatever.
Yeah, but the original with like the Russian, with like the Tchaikovsky music playing, that's kind of the best for me.
I don't think any of us understood the Russian implications. And they had the minarets in the background.
Amazing.
But also, like, were they spying on us? Let's see if they can solve
your
problem.
That's your question right now?
That's my statement. It wasn't even a question. Life lessons, laugh less. Oh, gosh. Life lessons, laugh sessions. Hi, welcome. Welcome to my cozy store. I'm already so excited for this episode. Double smiley face emoji. What is the advice you'd give young girls who want to go into the sciences but get discouraged because it's stereotyped as a male-dominant field? Love you both so much. Okay, that question is obviously to me. What's your advice?
I mean, my advice is that it is doable and it's possible, but it's not easy. Like, it's true that when you're the literally minority population in any class, depending on your personality, you know, I'm a person who's pretty easily intimidated, which most people are surprised to hear. But that's, you know, that's really going to depend a lot on your gumption and, you know, your ability to kind of push through it. But there's really no secret, you know, you do it till you don't. I needed a lot of extra, you know, help and support because a lot of times I was afraid to speak up in class. So I went to like every office hours and, you know, I was that student.
I was that student too, but that was just so the teacher would think I was trying hard, but I wasn't really. Like, I spent so much time looking like I was trying, but I didn't care. I was a decent student, but math is so stupid.
What?
Math is so stupid!
No, it's not.
It's not. I'm stupid at math.
That either. It's its own language.
You know what it is? Math is like, can I just say this? Is like an STD, and here's why.
Wow.
If you get one early in life, it can wreck the rest of your life. And if you're bad at math early on, like your SAT scores are fucked. Like it fucks your GPA.
Yeah.
And for the rest of your life, you're like a little crippled. And you have to tell everyone like, oh, I got a 12 in math SATs. And people are like, ooh, I don't know if I want to make a life with you.
I'm not a great standardized test taker, so I didn't do great on the SATs
yes,
in general.
You did.
No, I didn't.
What did you get?
Oh, my gosh.
What did you get? Was it over 1,200?
No.
Oh, God.
One of them wasn't. Oh, my God. Now you're like, oh, she is stupid.
No. I won't share my score.
Well, I don't remember how the scores used to go, but no, it was not, you know.
You're like, I think 700.
I think my brother got 1,500 when it was out of 1,600. Yeah, like, so I wasn't that.
Yeah, who knows what they do now? Is it just a series of emojis and hugs? Everyone gets a vegan sack lunch. I don't know.
That's funny.
_bear91 says, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given by a peer? That's
by a peer?
Because only when you're writing a book.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, you know.
Eliza Schlesinger said to me, she said to me, it was like the first time we went out to have coffee, whatever beverage we ingested.
We had drinks.
And you said, if someone, we were talking about men in particular, and you said, if someone like isn't on board with what you're doing with your life and how like, how not aggressive, but how assertive you are in your career, you said, I'm going to quote you, you said, get the fuck out of my way. That's what you said. No, but it was like, it was so empowering to hear that
I
like.
Was ready to hear me say something very eloquent.
No, but honestly, it really touched me. No, because I always have this fear like, oh, I'm too this or like, I'm going to offend. And you were just like, yeah, if you can't get on board with me and I'm dating you, like, get the fuck out of my way. Like, I was like, damn.
Wow.
Yeah. That was really good advice.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Look
I
at us
so
now.
Flattered. You solved my existential dilemma of like, do I exist? Like, do people hear when I talk?
Despite, yes.
Thank you.
Oh, I talk about you a lot.
I talk about you so much.
It's a little inappropriate.
No, it's never inappropriate. Yeah, it's kind of the idea that, like, because girls are always like, what about this? It's like, do you enjoy doing what you're doing?
Right.
He should support it. Obviously not if it's, like, drug use. But
right.
Even for, like, a little bit, that's okay.
Okay, a little bit.
A little bit, right? Little Sid and Nancy.
Who's to judge?
This is a specific, I guess my answer for that question, a buddy of mine who's a, I don't have a great memory for things, and I kind of blow through life, like, I don't know. But I remember my buddy Steve Simone, who has a podcast, too, called Good Times. He just said to me one day, and look, I've met a lot of successful people, famous people, but most people are full of bullshit. He said this to me. He just goes, you know, you don't have to notice everything.
Oh.
And he didn't mean it in terms of like, don't be astute and don't. He just meant like, you don't have to take on the burden of everyone because I'm always.
That's
like,
smart.
And it's actually a nice thing to go through and be like, I just didn't see that or this and I don't have to take on that energy.
Or not assuming that everything's always the worst intention.
I haven't gotten there yet, but you are right.
Okay, so next week.
Next week. But yes, that's what it is. You don't have to notice everything.
That's great.
It's not on you.
He clearly is not Jewish.
Very Italian. And I think it was more like, you don't gotta notice everything.
Right, no. We gotta notice everything.
Jews gotta notice everything. How does this affect me?
John Mulaney? Mulaney? How do you pronounce it?
Mulaney.
He said, he's like,
also not Jewish.
Right. He said, the thing about dating a Jew or being married to a Jewish woman, he's like, you never have to wonder what she's thinking because she tells you. Like, she walks into a room and she's like, here are the six things that hurt. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Like, that's amazing.
That's amazing, because he's like Irish Catholic.
No, but he married a Jewish woman. Yeah, exactly.
That is hilarious. Alicia Frost, can you talk about your time as a child actress and how you handled the success and fame when Blossom was on everyone's televisions, yet you managed to not become a train wreck as many child actors do? Can you name five people who did become train wrecks, and do you know them?
Wow.
That last part I made up.
Oh, well, I will say that I don't know that I need to name them.
No, that
I can
me.
Think of three people off the top of my head who died, who were
in general.
Well, no, wow, no, who were actors when we were all kids, and who I saw, you know, kind of have difficulties. You know, I think it's important to realize that it's not only actors who become train wrecks and do lots of drugs and drink and, like, freak out and have weirdness in their teen years. And often, you know, it's very often mental health related and people not getting the help that they need. That being said, my parents were really strict, and I think that helped.
Yeah.
Because it really sort of established, you know, that, like, I still have to take the trash out and, like, do my
Good
school
foundation.
And all that stuff. Yeah, but I also, it's hard to say that because you don't want to then insinuate that, you know, kids who did drugs or, you know, God
had
forbid, took their life. Right, that
right.
They had bad parents. Like, there's a lot. It's a very intricate system. But, you know, it was kind of like a, you know, benign dictatorship in my home. I was raised very, you know, very strict. So.
Right.
But, yeah.
But also, and you told me this a while ago, because everybody, and I get defensive.
Also, not being popular goes a long way towards protecting you from
that,
drugs
kids?
And alcohol.
When cool kids aren't offering you shit.
That's what I tell my boys. I'm like, be nerdier. I promise.
Yeah, no one offered me that. Yeah, you know who gets in trouble? Pretty girls.
That's right.
Because everyone's like, here's all the, come have fun. No
and
one
yes,
was inviting me.
In 40 years, this will be Eliza and my podcast. Exactly what we're doing now.
No one's offered me acid to this day. But also, you told me this a while ago, because people hear your name and they're like, oh, Blossom. You told me this, like, weird fact that it wasn't actually, what did you say?
We weren't that popular.
Yeah.
We were not a top 20 show.
We all remember it as, like, the show.
No.
That I think that would blow people's minds.
Yeah, we were on after The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and we had a slight, you know, fall off from those ratings. We were the highest rated show among African Americans after The Fresh Prince.
Because it stayed on.
Because we were on right after Fresh
hilarious.
Prince.
Hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, it was obviously a you know, a very loved show. Yeah, but we weren't, it wasn't like it is now also. There wasn't like Instagram and stuff. Like, I walked around, I
right.
did things. I mean, I was very recognizable, but the whole world was different. Like, people were asking for autographs back then. You know, you weren't
right.
taking selfies with people. It was,
they
you
weren't
know.
Suing you because you didn't give one.
That's right.
I always thought that was interesting, because that was like, we all look at it in hindsight like, oh yeah, huge show, 90s Blossom. And you're like, yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it was great. We were
yeah.
never nominated for anything. We never won any awards. You know, we were overlooked really for anything in kind of the critical world. I mean, we weren't a kids show. We were a family show.
Right.
But we weren't on in the afternoon. Like, we were a nighttime show. And we had some really great writers and some really amazing stuff. I mean, Don Rio, who created it, was a phenomenal writer. He's still working, you know. Here
That's-
we are.
It was interesting, all the little insights. I'm gonna answer this question only because I'm realizing
you're answering for me.
No. When I was on Blossom, it's a question about you and I, because I know that we've done, you know, book panels together, and I think you did my podcast the last time. But I
did. We were at that place on Melrose,
the Improv.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to answer this for those of you that are listening, because this is people say, Andy says underscore. The underscore at the end kills me. Like, you definitely don't want to be found. How did you meet? You are so different, yet so similar. I admire both of you because you are funny without being disrespectful, and you are a pure joy. Mayim.
That was
Jewish.
For me, that part.
That is you. Mayim, I'm Jewish too, and I love how you show the world our traditions and festivities. Love you, girls. So I'll just, we tell the story of how we met. We'll keep it short.
I stalked you.
You say that as if it, like, stalking has a bad connotation.
Okay, sorry. I obsessively followed you and pursued you.
You came to, I was performing at this L Women in Comedy event.
ELLE,
the
magazine.
Not a Spanish event. And,
Well, the kind of backstory was that I had had a very bad breakup. And it was at that time that I started, you know, basically trying to fill my time and my evenings. And I love comedy, and I love stand-up comedy. And I literally happened upon this Eliza Schlesinger, and I was like, Jewish? That name. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to embarrass you the way I usually do. No, but it brought a lot of humor and wisdom to a time in my life when I felt really, really weak and really kind of lost. And I felt really empowered by your comedy, and I was asked to do this Elle magazine there to go, and I was like, everybody's so pretty, and I'm so ugly. And then it was like, headliner, Eliza Schlesinger. And I was like, hire the stylist. Get my hair done. I'm going to go meet Eliza.
We're stepping out, boys.
And yeah, my publicist dragged me over to meet you. I think I started crying.
Your publicist, first of all, the fact that it said headliner, I'm sure we fought to get that. I'm like, make sure it says fucking headliner.
Well, it got me there.
You came. There were so many funny women in
comedy
there.
Very famous people.
I remember Julie Bowen was there. Kate McKinnon. Everyone was there. Mm-hmm. So everyone
was
like,
the Ghostbusters ladies, I think.
Yes, it was at the time of that movie. Everybody. Leslie did a set. She broke a light bulb.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
It was awesome. But it was one of those, like, every girl there was looking at another woman like, holy fuck, look who's here.
I only had eyes for you.
I appreciate that because the show ended and your publicist came up and they were like, Maya Bialik would like to meet you. And I was like, are you sure?
She had to drag me. I was so nervous.
I was just like, of course. And that we became, you know, you meet a lot of people at events and it's like, oh my God, I'll call you. And it's that very like, we'll do lunch.
No,
but
we
actually did.
We did.
We hit it off immediately and we went for drinks.
Well, and also I really got to learn about your business side, you know, because obviously I see you as this like, you know, forgive me, gorgeous. Well, don't forgive me. Like, you know. Gorgeous. Gorgeous, hilarious, like empowered. Aww. So then to hear like about your life behind it, that's really what hooked me on you as a person. Like, oh, she's not just like a funny person who's also like really gorgeous and looks cute in those sailor pants. It was like, this is a person with like a career plan and like things that she does. And like, I just loved how you kind of explained the industry from your perspective.
Yeah. I think what we both enjoy about each other, there's a practicality to being Jewish. And we just really dig in with each other. And obviously, you're so smart. I love smart women. And not like in a fake fan. Like, women. I love smart women. Like, you're like a scientist. Like, it doesn't get smarter than that.
No, but it's not like we sit around and, like, I explain what, like, you know, the adenosine triphosphate cycle's like. Like,
I know.
No, I think it's really fun to meet people also in the industry who, you know, have some of the same, like, champagne problems. Like,
sure.
Oh, what do I wear to this thing? Like, oh, I have to pay so much money for a stylist. And like, oh, I have, you know, melasma. How do I get rid of it?
I have melasma and I can't get rid of it. The answer is you can't. And anyone that says you can is lying. Should I tell the vitiligo story or no?
Sure.
Okay, real quick. Melasma is a side effect of birth control. It also happens if
you're
pregnant.
Well, it's a side effect of any hormonal shift.
There you go.
I mean, birth control is making your body think that it's pregnant.
Right.
So that's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a darkening of parts of your skin. And and I was telling Mayim, we were both talking about how we're not wearing any makeup. I go, I got a little bit of cover up on my melasma. And she goes, I know someone who dated a guy and he had melasma on his penis. And I go, what? How? And I'm thinking, do men get melasma? I'm like, how would he have it? And then she goes, was black.
Okay.
And I go, no, no, it's okay. It's not racist. It's not. It's
no,
okay.
I know.
But you were saying he was black because I was like, how did you see it? This makes sense when we reveal.
The punchline.
Right. And I go, if he's black, how would you notice it? And that's, who's inspecting that closely down there? And you go, well, they got naked. And I was like, and then it became clear that she was referring to vitiligo. So if you were black, yes, it would be like a bright white dick. And I was like, oh, melasma is a darkening, vitiligo is a light. And she's like, oh.
And in that instant, sense. UCLA took back my PhD.
So that's a fun. Anyways, but we love each other. We bond. Here's a question. KJB10 for Mayim. I think it was, this question's for Mayim. And then he starts with, as a scientist, as if you had to start with,
you know,
for Mayim.
Just gotta double check.
We got to double check. Who also as a scientist who also plays one on TV, how accurate is Big Bang Theory versus real life in general? Oh, and then there was another question about.
You mean in terms of, I'm assuming he means she, it.
They. We're going to go with they because we don't know.
Okay.
It sounds like a boy wrote
in
it,
in terms of, like, the science stuff, we actually have a physics consultant on the show who's in charge of that. His name's Dr. David Salzberg. He's a physics professor at UCLA. So he's kind of in charge of a lot of that. Sometimes they'll ask me, like, oh, we need a joke about, like, a stroke. What region of the brain would do this?
Right.
But, you know, honestly.
Amygdala.
Very good. That's pain and fear. Yeah.
I guess that could, yeah, at least good. I knew
but yeah, you
a thing.
Threw it out there. A lot of things can be Googled, and a lot of our writers also are very intelligent, and some have science backgrounds, so that kind
but
of fills
this
it
requires
in.
A real, like, I watch the show, and I'm like, there's no way you're a comedy writer and, like, you fully.
Yeah. But oh, no.
You have to get a consultant, I mean.
No, we have some of our comedy writers who are very, very intelligent in the realms of science.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Kaplan, I think he has a PhD in, like, philosophy of mind, but, like, trained as a scientist and...
Because it's so accessible. There was an episode, because it's such a delicious show. Like, it's such a fun, tasty multicam, and you said it, and it's smart.
It's old school television.
It really is. And there was this one where they went to Mexico, I think, for Sheldon's bachelor party and the van. So they had to use different types of physics, types. And I thought that was so cool.
That was a great episode.
That they approached it that way versus just calling AAA.
Right. Exactly. Well, they tried to fix the tire, but they couldn't get the car jacked up, so they had to talk about the different physics ways they could get it
to come
up. It's
a really good episode.
That's funny.
Babies, Jane, 0930. You know what? This is more science.
Oh.
She's listening. Like, no, please, please. The answer is yes, we're doomed. Artificial intelligence will consume us all. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right. Cassidy J. Charette. Hi, Mayim.
Hi.
This is me now. How do you handle the sexism that you face from, you know what, we already answered that question in another way about dominated fields.
Get the fuck out of my way.
Out of my way. Quote me. Joe C. Matthews simply asks, what excites you most right now?
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Right now. Right now in time, right now in this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Define now, you know?
You know, I'm going to say something. It's not an ad, but I'm going to say something kind of funny. I mean, I don't know if it's funny. I am kind of clothing challenged and I, you know what, I'll just be generic. I started getting clothing in a box that comes once a month.
Oh, you can say Stitch Fix.
Oh, Stitch Fix.
Yeah. What? It's our sponsor.
Oh, they won't sponsor me. Well, Stitch Fix. We've asked for them to do stuff on my website. Okay. Well, anyway,
we did not plan this. Stitch Fix is a sponsor.
I changed my life. I'm not even, they're not paying. I wish they would pay me.
Hold on. Why are the producers shaking their heads? Why is Emily? Yeah. Get that thumb up there. All right, yeah. You know what? This saves me so much time. Okay, Mayim, tell us why you love Stitch Fix.
Well, honestly, I'm clothing challenged. And it's not just that I'm busy and that, like, oh, you must be so famous you can't go to the store. No, I just hate going to the store.
You are like a dude.
And No, I'm totally a dude.
You
like,
are not a girly girl.
No, I compare my insides to other people's outsides all the time. So it's like if I'm depressed and I go to the store, I'm like, everybody looks so much better than I feel. So I just get depressed and nothing looks good. So you get a box and there's a styling fee, but honestly, it's called worth it because you customize it. So like I'm vegan, so I checked off, like, I don't wear leather, I don't wear fur, and I'm like, I don't like sleeveless, so like check that off. Most of the clothes, not now, because
now
I'm in gym clothes.
Hanes t-shirts. They,
seriously. No, but they send me choices. I always select. I don't want anything over $100. Like, I always pick things that are in my, it's like changed my life.
Wow.
I now have clothing that I get to wear that doesn't make me feel like I do today.
Is that not the most ringing endorsement
I made a video for my YouTube channel. We have over 600,000 subscribers. They're like, not interested.
Well,
what do you
that?
Want from me, people?
What do you want, Stitch Fix? That's a real endorsement.
3 million people on Instagram who would love to hear about this.
Ah, see? You know you're a celebrity. There it is. I wrote them a jingle. It's just all my jingles kind of sound the same.
Oh.
Stitch Fix and fix that stitch. Do it. It's at your door. Like, they're really bad.
Oh.
I love
we
that.
We can work on that.
The ad wasn't that expensive.
But that's what excites me right now. Well, not just like, Stitch Fix, but being able to present myself in a way that makes me feel more confident, it's
that's
really
huge.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it's my turn. Stiff
what
as a board.
What excites you?
Thank you for asking. What excites me right now? I'm not going to answer it career-wise because, like, that's always a roller coaster.
You're in kind of a big deal movie. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, I am. I'm an instant family.
Woo.
What excites me right now? That's a great question. Okay, this is a shallow answer. Even though I feel kind of gross, I'm excited. I went all through Scotland and the rest of the UK and Wales, and I kind of just, something snapped, and I just ate everything. I ate every piece of chocolate. I'm not even a chocolate fan. Every cookie, every scone, every biscuit, all with that terrible accent. And I didn't gain as much weight as I thought I would.
Oh.
And I kept thinking it's because they have no GMOs in their food. Like, it's healthy biscuits. But I do think there's something to giving your body what it wants all the time. I think I was running on adrenaline. It was just nice to see, like, oh, you can let go for a little bit.
Oh, that's nice.
And I came home and I'm like, ooh, my pants are really tight. But then I was like, well, my pants are always tight. It's kind of my thing. So
I want to change the thing that I'm excited about to that.
To that?
I'm excited that Eliza ate every piece of chocolate and every biscuit.
Everything.
Every biscuit.
And I'm excited. I think at the self-delusion of always thinking about how thin I'm going to get. I think as a girl, there's that dangling carrot of like, I'm going to get so thin. And you're like, after this pizza. But I was excited that I ate as much as I could and I didn't feel as gross as I thought I would.
Good.
I know you guys wanted us to say, like, it's the dawn of a new era. I'm excited that the EPA in that report gave us, like, 8 years. I'm glad it's not like it's on fire. We're fucked. Like, I'm glad we have a chance to change it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm unexcited about, but that wasn't the question.
It's a whole other show.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza.
I'm busy, and this time of year gets even busier. I've had my baby, I'm back to work, I'm at meetings, I'm on tour, I'm running around, and I don't always have time to sit down for a meal with my family. Sometimes I get home from set so late and I just need to eat something nutritious and go to bed. And that's why I like Factor's fresh, never frozen meals, because they're dietitian approved and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, and I'm busy, I always have time to get a nutritious, great tasting meal. Factor has over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. I'm trying to do less meat in general, and they have wonderful vegan and veggie options. I just made a vegan mushroom marsala, and I made an onion risotto. Just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't mean you can't eat deliciously. It had roasted garlic green beans. It was scrumptious. Head to factormeals.com/Eliza50 and use code Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Eliza50 at factormeals.com/Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
I'm going to ask you this in an abridged way because Emily wanted me to ask this, and I don't want this...
This long question?
Yeah, but we're going to...
It's kind of intense.
Because you don't really have... Basically, you wrote Girling Up and you wrote Boying Up.
Yeah.
So Charlie Gilbert says, as a transgender boy, so I'm assuming that means you've gone from girl to boy.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that because I don't know and you can't get mad at me.
Yes, I think that's what it means.
Boy,
you
yes.
identify as what... Yeah,
you're
the title is what you want to identify
there
as.
You go.
Yep.
Is Boying Up the right book for me? I'm actually struggling to figure out if it's a good idea for me to read it. Well, it's not a bad idea, I'll tell you that much. And I would love advice from the one and only writer, you.
That's a really interesting question. And actually, I was asked this on the book tour. I would say that yes. I mean, just as my sons read Girling Up, because I think that there are things that boys can learn from reading Girling Up and there are things that girls can learn from Boying Up, mm-hmm. I definitely think if you're someone who's identifying as a boy, I think there's probably a lot in the book that's still going to ring true about our culture of masculinity and all those things that are going to apply to you no matter what your born biological sex was.
I mean, that's like saying, why read anything?
A little
if
bit.
I'm not going to like this.
I mean, while we're at it, buy both books.
They're great stocking stuffers. Because he goes on to say, I'm sort of scared. It's personal and thought not about Mayim. I just know that there are science parts, and as a transgender person, I might get hurt. I'm really dysphoric about my body.
There is not a chapter called, if you weren't born with a penis, there's no way you can be a man.
Right, and there's no chapter like, if your dick doesn't look like this,
right.
It ain't going to work.
No, we literally have a picture of a pretzel in the diagram of...
Which I find offensive. I know it's about breaking stereotypes. So they struggle with their body. I feel like I'm never enough of a man. Me neither.
That's actually in the book. Yeah, no, I definitely think that would be
Can I say, as a non-author of this book... Not reading something for fear of discovering information you might not like is ignorant. You should read it.
It's something that this generation, I can see, might resonate with. Yeah. Like,
you know
it might hurt my feelings.
If you are a transgender person, like, that's already a super brave thing to do. This book is going to be nothing but pleasant. There's nothing. She's not the kind of person that's like, and if you're not on the football team, why'd you even bother? So you're safe. I'm telling you as a doctor, you're safe. Okay. Lexil's, I gotta read these first. Lexi lifts weight says, my husband, and we're gonna both weigh in on these. My husband's family is very religious and can often be sexist. She did not cite the religion because that could be any religion. As a feminist, it's very difficult for me not to speak up in certain conversations, but I'm afraid of embarrassing my extremely non-confrontational husband in front of his family. Should I be myself and insert my views, or should I keep quiet knowing my voice likely won't change their minds anyway?
Obviously, it's important to be yourself, but being yourself doesn't mean you have to notice everything and fight about everything and speak up about everything. You know, you can be right or you can be happy. I've been told that a lot. So it's like, if you're at a family thing, it doesn't... I remember when I was younger, it was harder. Like, when someone would say something disparaging, it was harder for me to kind of control myself. But now that I'm, you know, 42, almost 43, it's kind of like I realize I don't need to fight every fight.
No.
Even when I was a new mom, people were like, why are you breastfeeding? It's like, I don't need to fight with you.
So I don't need to prove myself to you.
Yeah.
And also, like, especially, I always feel this, the older someone is, the more steadfast they're going to be in their racist, sexist, whatever views. And I had another podcast about this, like, someone asked about coming out to their, like, 93-year-old grandma. I'm like, gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, are they controlling your trust
but
fund?
I think also, like, there's a level of uncomfortableness that if you are not comfortable, that's when you get into the kitchen, do some dishes, be helpful, say, I'm going to take a walk. You don't need to be around it. But, you know, like I said, you don't need to also make everything your bandstand.
There's that.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, and look, we don't know what you're dealing with or who or whatever. The less you, when you don't take on every single fight, the ones that you choose, the battles that you do choose, I think are heard that much louder, not to mix metaphors. Like, when you are, like, an activist, when you're constantly on people about stuff, it becomes white noise. But, like, I can tell you, like, I take up very specific causes, and people all the time will be like, can you tweet about my charity and that thing? I'm like, first of all, I don't know if you're lying. Second of all, if I'm always saying, donate to this, people stop hearing it.
And it loses its power.
It does.
I think it's, you know, you want to be selective. Yeah, and I think also, like, you know.
Like genetics.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, with your book, like, with GirlLogic, like, you know, there are a lot of things that you could, you know, talk about, write about, do stand up about, but you've been really selective, and I think it's really allowed you to hone a very specific perspective, you know? Yeah.
You're welcome. I also have, like, a lot of thoughts about, like, unicorn frappuccinos and
Sprint. That'll be your next book.
That'll be my next book. Brittany P., 1987, whoops-a-daisy, says, I'm dealing with fertility issues, which thankfully aren't too bad, but what's the best way to tell people it's none of their business when they ask, when are we having kids? Or better yet, the family and friends that do know give me the sad eyes when they find out, I guess, that she has issues. Anytime I say anything, I sound rude and I'm not trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them!
So, yeah, stay out of my uterus.
Stay out of my uterus, government.
Well, stay out of my uterus, loving friends and family. Like, you know... I mean, my instinct would be to make a joke and be like, oh, would you like me just to FaceTime you next time we're about to have sex?
Yeah. I think women get so offended when people bring up the baby thing. It's such a natural thing to ask. You know, we can't pretend like women are the only ones that can have babies. So people get so offended. And I think people get offended because they feel they're not living up to someone else's timeline.
Sure.
I get not offended. I get bored. I'm like, don't know. Don't have an answer. I'm not even being rude. I hadn't thought about it.
Well, and I think also, like, the notion that people are going to give you sad eyes, that's just sort of the human experience. And a lot of times people, they don't know how to react. You know, you get to also kind of, you know, find your own comfort level and realize you don't have to take care of other people's feelings about it. And a lot of times it's just people's uncomfortableness. But yeah, someone said to me the other day, I was being interviewed for something and she was like, so do you think like you'll find love again and have more kids? I was like, oh no. Well, I mean, what I wanted to be is like, it's not your business. I was like, lady, I'm almost 43. Like, I can barely walk up the stairs without pain. You think I'm going to carry a baby and birth it? Are you kidding me?
Oh, really? Up the stairs without pain?
Like, you know, my knee hurts. No, you know what I mean? It's like things start hurting after 40. It's like,
also,
I can't carry a baby.
Where's the end goal? That I, like, we move off to the Riviera and I have, like, a quiver full of children?
Yeah, well, or, like, say to my children from, you know, my marriage, like, hey, guys, I know, like, your life's been kind of rough. We got divorced and everything. Let's bring a brand new baby into the equation.
Because society thinks I should.
Yeah. Well, it's all about my happiness, isn't it?
I believe it is all about mine. I can barely handle it. My husband's been out of town a lot, and everyone's always like, where is he? When's he coming back? And I'm like, I don't know. This doesn't sound like it's about me, though. So call him.
And the house is quiet. Leave me alone.
This is very quiet. He's so quiet, though.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
But I get to sing my songs even louder to the dog.
I ran into someone who's a friend of yours who I sat next to at your wedding. And he wanted to apologize because he and his wife got into a huge fight at your wedding, and I didn't even notice. Michael?
Oh, yeah, he told me he ran into you.
Yeah,
sorry.
But he explained the whole thing about how...
They got in a fight?
They got in a fight at your wedding.
At my wedding, Michael? you know what? If my friends listened to this podcast, they'd be upset we were talking about him now. But there's no way he even knows I do this, even though I can see his office from this window.
Oh, is that right?
They moved.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. They did. I was there yesterday.
Yeah. I think weddings bring that out in people. And you know what?
They were fighting about their wedding.
Well, now
at your wedding.
Well, now they are their wedding.
Well, and I said to him, like, what better place to fight with your fiance than at someone else's wedding?
Exquisite wedding.
It was great.
Also, they got married and I missed it because I was on tour. And because I'm friends with the groom, he like didn't care. Oh. That's the benefit. Like women.
Dude, friends.
My God. He was like, fine. And I was like, we'll take you guys out to dinner. Like, there was no, like, we are very close.
But the woman would be like, but can you come to the shower? Can you come to the second shower? Can you come to the bachelorette?
I cashed in on that. Every girl, I'm like, you guys got to be at these things because I don't ask for much. I had a big shower. And we had fries. We didn't tell anybody. Whitney, no Instagram. With already fighting the female add-on to everything you do, i.e. female comedian. I think you mean EG. How do you feel about having Jewish also thrown in there, especially as people who do as people who do identify with their Jewish heritage, but clearly it isn't the only noteworthy characteristic.
Wow.
I think it is IE. EG is for example, IE is in other words. So it was EG.
Oh, yeah.
What's important is that I think I was right. How do you feel about having Jewish also thrown in there?
I mean,
I
think it depends on the context. Like when Eliza
like
Schlesinger,
an accusatory way.
No, like when Eliza Schlesinger is featured in the Jewish Journal, it's like Jewish comedian. And
right.
There's also a female version of the word comedian. It's comedienne.
Ugh.
I know. Okay. So actor, actress. I think it can be accusatory if like it's like an article that has nothing to do with it. And it's like Jewish actor,
liberal, globalist.
Yeah, I think that's a euphemism for the enemy sometimes when people use it like that.
Yeah, I guess it depends. You always have to look at context. I think a big part of what's wrong in our world is nobody ever looks at context and people get
offended.
There's
no more context. There's no more subtlety and there's no more nuance.
I really do. I don't like female comedian because it's antiquated and people do it. I'm like, oh, you're kind of dumb. There was on my Wikipedia page, it was like, she's from Dallas. She is Jewish. And I'm like, what? We got to say something to me? As a Jew, you're always like, and what? But I think people are just trying to give a better picture.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, like for me, like I really wear my Jewishness on my face, as it were. And like, you know, I usually wear like a Jewish star. And yeah, so like I'm pretty vocal about, you know, being Jewish. But also like, I mean, we're pretty proud that you're on our team. So it's like
anytime
I mention you, I'm like, she's Jewish.
She's Jewish, too. You know what? I think you use it to your advantage. Everybody does this, whether it's your color or your religion or whatever. You are allowed to pick and choose when it works for you. So I'll say it as a way of bonding with someone else.
Right.
It depends are you citing those things to give context or are you just citing it and it's not ancillary? If you're like Schlesinger, who's Jewish, by the way, also was at the rally. It's like, what is that? Versus
unless it's a rally for, you know, the anti-defamation league.
Right. So it always depends on who's writing it. Look them up. See what their background is.
And also, you know, kids today, they love their labels. You know, they love to be like, I'm this, and I, you know, like, they like to have a name for it.
Right. But also, like, I'm none of those things at the
same
time.
That's right. Yeah, like, what's it called? Like, you know, gender fluid. I just called it like I was a boyish girl. And I'm like, if I were born now, yeah. I'd be like, I'm gender fluid.
Somebody explained it to me the other day. I had a fan, and I forgive me for those listening. She said a name. It was like agender or something. And it was the idea. She identified as that. And it was a girl. And she was there with her boy gay roommate. And she just looked like a girl. She did. She didn't come off as really butch. Or she just was like a girl with long hair. And she was like, she goes, I'm a whatever it was. And I go, tell me what that means. Because you have to be able to ask a question.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, simply, it just means that on any given day, I wake up not necessarily identifying as a boy, identifying with women or men. And I go, who does?
Right.
And I was like, maybe I'm agender. She's like, maybe.
Yeah, I read an article by someone, and it was like, you know, I never felt right when I would get all dressed up in dresses, and now I know why. And I was like, I never feel right now. Like, am I gay?
But now you have like, Stitch Fix.
Yeah, my ex-boyfriend was like, maybe you are gay.
It was, growing up, it was such a thing to assign. Like, I'm wearing a sports bra. Maybe you're gay. It's like, maybe I don't want to get knocked out by my own boobs. It's so easy to be like, they're gay. And it's like, or things, just like wearing shorts.
Things were simpler then.
Simpler times. Kelsey underscore Kasten 11 says, weirdest beauty trend you've tried? No rest of the sentence.
Well, I mean, it's like people, this showed up in my feed. Someone, they call it like a sperm facial, but not because it's sperm, just because it like smells bad.
Oh.
It's like, oh, no.
Was it good?
I haven't done the, like, the fish eating your feet thing.
I've done that.
Oh, you have?
Yes, you have. So loud.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Oh, my God. It didn't hurt, but it is weird.
I would cry out of uncomfortableness. I've done, like, detox body wrap things, but that's not that exciting.
That's not.
No, I'm sorry. I don't have any weird, exciting
Because I was thinking,
thing.
Like, makeup, like, contouring, whatever. I remember when hair feathers were in? Like,
yes.
I was
Who
so.
Who could forget?
I couldn't, and I wish they were still in like a witchy woman kind of way.
Bring it back.
I was so into them. It's like still on my Etsy account, all the orders I had, because they were like rooster feathers. I have them in my headshot when I had a show on CBS. I was like, there's no way this will ever be off trend. I'm going to put them in the headshot. So if we're excused, all the headshots, I have feathers.
That's what you thought would never be off trend?
I didn't want it to. I was like, this is so fucking cool. Very
I mean, magnetic. Like, you could say that about, like, a strand of pearls, but, like, feathers
I
in
knew
your
it would,
hair.
But I kind of didn't care because I was like, I'm in my 20s. No one's going to judge this. DJ Douglas 386 says, who would win in a fight, Blossom or Amy? Also, who would win between Six and Penny?
Oh, my.
And, yes, this assumes they would all become friends because they all probably would. But if they did fight.
I'm going to take Blossom over Amy.
She's a kid.
I'm going to take Penny over Six.
Definitely Penny over Six.
Yeah.
Oh.
Strong shoulders, that Kaylee Cuoco.
But she's also like, she's that character.
Yeah. She's
has definitely
to...
been in fights in high yeah. school over like boys.
Yeah. And possibly in college. Yeah.
That character didn't go to college.
Okay. But that age.
Fair enough. Yeah. Six, Jenna Von Oy, too cute. But
it's,
you know.
It's spelled like the number though. This They spelled it like Nikki.
Yeah, I don't think this is just a dude trying to get
okay, but I'm just I want everyone to know that the name Six on Blossom was because that's how many beers her father said it took.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she would win. Trashy genetics. And you say Blossom versus Amy, you say Blossom, although a child, Amy.
Yeah, I'm picturing more like a Blossom like my dimensions, like an adult.
Like an adult Blossom.
Yeah.
Blossom into a
Yeah, I mean a child would rarely win a fight against a grown woman, but well.
Yeah, I guess it depends.
Yeah, I mean
okay, well, you've really given us something to think about, DJ Douglas 386. Ebean 43 says, what's the best thing about having / raising two boys? Both you ladies are amazing and inspirational. Okay, I'll sit this one out. Go ahead, Mayim.
What were the adjectives?
What's the best? Oh, amazing and inspirational.
Well,
what's
I
the
mean,
best thing
I,
about raising two boys?
As boyish as I am, I've never been a boy. And so there's really fun things that you get to learn about boys.
Yeah.
They think their penises are hilarious for
I
a
do too.
Good number of years.
Yeah, I don't think it ends.
Like, really, they think it's hilarious. No, I guess maybe it doesn't end. But there's something really funny when they find it so funny. Not like I'm witnessing everything, but, you know, I'll hear them laughing or they'll be, like, talking or teasing. And, like, it's just funny to see kind of the inner workings of
like the boy brain.
The other, you know, the other half. Am
the
I allowed
side.
To say that? Like, oh, we're going to get hate mail. It's not half, but,
you know. Totally. You know what I think about? I read something. What was it the other day?
Oh, also wrestling. I love wrestling. And
you
so now I
wrestling.
Have children to, like, put in a headlock and stuff.
You're a very hands-on mother.
I'm very aggressive, some might say. Like, the first time I made my son, like, tap out, I put a knee on his solar plexus, and he was like, ow!
You're like, I know where other things are, too.
It's like, oh,
I know your whole anatomy.
I'm hurting him.
Wait, what were you just, we were just saying?
Sorry.
We can edit this part
about
out.
Boys.
Oh, you know, it's because we're always trying to figure out the opposite sex, right? And there's just things that are hardwired, you know, and obviously we make these sweeping statements like men are quiet and women are talking, mm-hmm. whatever. But I have a whole career because of these sweeping assumptions. But like, I think about the times in my life, this is like so weird to say that, like, where I've been the horniest. Like, yes. maybe, like, right before you get off or, like, right when you think yeah. someone's so hot and you're just, like, super turned on. And I'm like, this is how dudes walk around, like, when they're at zero. I don't think I could handle being a dude.
Well, for a certain number of years, I have heard that it can be very distracting.
Have you watched Big Mouth? Have to watch it. It's a John Mulaney, Nick Kroll cartoon.
Oh.
I'm plugging it.
No,
I'm
haven't watched that.
I think you'd like it because it's brilliant.
Oh, well, I love that. Him.
But they're like, dudes are at a 10, like, oh, she rubbed my thigh. Oh, my God. Gotta fuck. So Scott's like, no, maybe
not. Yeah, well, that's not what it's like having a 10 and 13-year-old, but I'll check in next year.
Yeah, check in. All right, we're going to wrap it up because I don't want to keep you too long. Also, my throat hurts. What kind of sandwich, Little Bear asks, best represents you?
I think a mock tuna.
What's that made of? Like taro?
No, it's made of smashed chickpeas with vegan mayonnaise and diced pickles.
Well, but why? Just because it's vegan?
Well, it's vegan. Mm. It's salty.
Okay.
And it's versatile, meaning it can be a sandwich, it could be a dip. Just eat it right out of the bowl.
Doesn't You're a versatile woman.
I'm a versatile woman, and I'm not easy like that. But, right. like, it's simple. You know what I mean? Like, it's like three things.
Put
them, yeah, like, three things, put them in a bowl, and you get something fun. But it didn't take a lot of work to get there.
But it also did because you had to go to, like, a specialty vegan store to get the fit.
It's just
chickpeas.
A can of garbanzo beans.
At the end of the day, it's simple.
Okay, the veganaise, yeah. But they sell that at, you know,
okay.
Ralph's.
Seemingly simple, but actually complicated, but also and simple in its complexity.
Salty. And, like, chewy because it's salty.
Because it's a fish.
And there's pickles.
It's a whipped up fish. Mine would be a knuckle sandwich.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mine would be, I don't know, and I was having a debate with Scott about this. I love yellow mustard. It's my only condiment. I'm not a mayonnaise person because I don't think Jews eat mayonnaise, really.
Hate it.
What? You hate
no,
it?
Hate mustard.
My sandwich would be, okay, you know, I'm just going to say something of it. When you go to, like, Carnegie Deli or something, they give you, like, really, not Carnegie Deli, the other one, Katz's or something. I don't know.
A deli.
I want to say one of those sandwiches that's got, like, too much meat on it.
Yeah. A corned beef?
Yeah, because it's too much.
Then you take the other home for the next 2 days.
Yeah. I'm just going to answer questions. Sandwiches I like to eat. I also love
this
a good club
fun.
Sandwich, but without the third layer of bread in the middle.
It's not needed.
I don't need that.
No. On no one does.
No, I don't need it. All right. Last question. Closing it out. Teresa B. says, Mayim, what's more powerful, the brain or the heart? And then she says, Eliza, what was your favorite subject in school?
Wow.
So, Mayim, you go first.
What's more powerful? Well, not to be a nerd, but it kind of depends on how you define power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the heart is something that, gosh, you know, can make people lose their mind, take their life. It's very, very powerful. But the brain is also powerful because it's in charge of everything that is, you know, processed when you're in love. So I guess the brain.
I would also agree because the heart can make you sad. It can make you stalk someone. But your brain has the final decision. It
and your brain's clouded. Regulating all that.
Hopefully.
Yeah. What was your favorite subject?
You know, I really liked physics.
Ooh.
I was not great. I was really bad at chemistry. So I did not like that. I really like physics. I always liked science. I always did. And I'm pretty good at, like, Jeopardy.
I'm actually really bad at Jeopardy.
Oh my God.
It's not my thing. I always forget to say what is.
Right. I would mess up that part. So I think I really enjoyed physics, and I was also, I took a Chaucer class, and I, for
Ooh.
Some reason, really enjoyed Chaucer, and a lot of people know
like
this about
Canterbury
me.
Tales? One that appealed with
that
the story so
thing.
Yeah, well,
yes,
you know, a little bit.
And I have that memorized.
We both have this memorized. We talked about this.
This
Sorry.
Is like a nerdy school requirement. We both have the prologue.
That's
the
right. One
memorized.
That, well, we'll spare people. Okay, another show.
Because it's like, I feel like I always find a way to bring it up.
That's
like when you're
possibly, that's our best celebrity thing about each other.
That we both know
the beginning of Canterbury Tales in Old English.
In Old English.
Middle English? I don't remember.
You know what? I think it was Old English because I think middle.
All you.
Is it Middle English? I think it was Old English because I think Middle English is like almost impossible to read.
Okay.
Time for I also really liked English. I liked all the subjects I was good at.
She liked everything she was good at.
Except for math. Sorry. Time for Top of the Cob.
Which I thought meant corn cob.
It's the top of the cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
Not a corn cob,
Not a corn cob.
A cobbler.
Because you can't take a bite like that.
I mean, there's a... One could argue there's a top and a bottom of a corn cob.
There is. I mean, one... Never mind.
One could argue, but no one would listen to that argument.
That's true.
Cobbler, do you know... Are you familiar with the pod and what top of the cob is referring to?
I'm ready. Well, top of the cob's the crispy part.
The best part.
The bottom is the mushy part.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is has its merits.
Okay, what do you want first?
What's your top of the cob?
Okay, it's about my cat.
I'm ready.
So I have four cats, but one of them is a happy drooler, and I love it. Like, if I'm resting my hand and he puts his head, like, to nap on my hand, it's hot drool.
Cat drool.
Cat drool. And, like, I'll have, like, a little wet circle on my chest when he lays on my chest and drools. It's such a definitive way to know that he's happy, and
he's
I think
relaxed.
I really like it. Yeah, like, it's
that.
More than just purring. Like, it's like... There's purring, and then there's, like, I'm going to let saliva fall out of my cat mouth onto you. That's how happy. Like, that's bliss. It's bliss.
It's bliss. It's also his blatant disregard for your sanitary
because needs. It's about him. He's a cat, you know.
But that's what we want for our pets.
True story.
I can hear Blanche. This is not my top of the cob, but she does little grandma snores because she passes out, and you'll just hear, like, and I'm just like, oh, you're dreaming about being anyone's pet but
that's
mine.
Almost my top of the cob now. The little sounds that Blanche makes.
I will record it for you and send it to you.
I want it.
My top of the cob. This is so... Okay, my mom went to the Aspen Ideas Festival. It was Aspen Institute. She went to... It's like a TED Talk thing. And they go every year. My stepdad and her are very involved with these things. And she went to something and she bought this skincare. There was a skincare line there and it was very expensive. She told me all about it. And, you know, this is what some women spend their money on. And not when you buy like a skincare product or system, you don't need everything in it. Like, it's not everybody needs toner or cleanser or whatever. And there was this wand that came with it. And she's like, I'm going to give it to you. And I was like, okay. So she plugged it in for me. She came to visit for Thanksgiving, plugged it
in. Say more about this wand.
I'm going to tell you. It's called, well, I don't know if I like it yet, but it's called Sapphire, which is a stupid name, but it
sounds like a vibrator.
It looks like a vibrator.
Okay.
She plugged it in by my bed, and it is, like, just this blue, like, stick. And I had to tell my maid, I'm like, no S vibrator. Like, I don't know.
No S vibrator.
I didn't want to make the gesture. But what I love about it, and this is such a tacky thing, but I don't care. So you use it. And it's really for acne, which I don't have, but she said it could help you with your melasma.
Melasma.
And it's an infrared blue light. And she's like, you do it if it's 15, 20 minutes. I'm like,
but
that's
it's
a
called
big ass.
Is Sapphire a blue stone?
It's the name of the thing.
But that's a blue stone, right?
Yeah,
yes.
But, right.
Okay.
But yes. Yes, sorry. It is. So, yes, it is. So I was doing it and I was sitting there. I had it on my face and I'm laying there and I'm like, what is this? Is this bullshit? I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I want to see what this is because she gave it to me. I'm not saying she paid this. Like, I think the guy that was doing it, like, you gave it to her. Guess how much this wand retails for?
$300.
$4,000? And I'm going to use it every day for the rest of my life.
You're
going to
invite me over.
Point.
We're going to use it together.
Absolutely.
For that price.
It has to be real for that price. My mom does not have that kind of money. I don't know how she got it. I don't fell off the back of a truck. I am using the fuck out of this thing.
That's amazing.
Until my lips burn off.
I like this story.
That's my top
That's
of the
pretty good.
$4,000 vibrator.
And me with my cat drool.
You know, it's simple
We
things.
Have different lives.
We have different lives. What is your bottom of the cob?
Okay. This is like it's a really good bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you'll relate. You know when you, like, I don't wear fancy underwear. We're just going to say that first.
Okay.
Everybody needs to know that. It's important for the story.
Everybody needs to know
I
that.
Don't wear fancy underwear. It's just not my thing. I like it to cover most of both butt cheeks. And I'm curvy, so we got to have, like, you know, it's just, you know.
Full coverage.
For fancy occasions, fine. But generally speaking, I don't wear fancy underwear. But I did buy some that, like, don't have seams, you know, because, like, then, you know,
for
there's
dresses and stuff.
Well, right. Or for things that are, like, silky and you don't want it to show. So I didn't get them at a fancy store, but, like, this was fancy for me. They had, like, a couple of rhinestones at the thing, at, like, at the front, you know, but just, like,
sapphires.
Plain colors.
Uh-huh.
Right. Not sapphires. So I had to wear a skirt and I put on the undies that don't have seams because the skirt would show it. And I'm, like, going about my day. And about 2 hours into my day, I realized that, like, there's no more elastic in any part of the underwear, meaning I didn't buy like high quality. And so obviously it just like sat in my drawer. And by the time I got around to wearing it, it had just like run out of all of its elastic. So all day,
and
I feel like
corroded or
no,
something.
No, it's just like not a great quality. And it was like kind of spandexy or whatever. So like all day I'm feeling like I got to like pull up my gut.
You wore
like,
it out. You wore out.
I was out and about.
You were
at that point. There was
rock
no going.
There was
no going commando at that point.
Never.
But like all day, I'm like, are they gonna fall? It felt like I was wearing training pants that were gonna fall.
Oh my God!
Sorry.
Where are you shopping? That's not Stitch Fix.
I go. No, that was not. Honestly, like I like Ross and Marshalls and those kind of places, and I like the underwear aisle.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
That's hilarious that you were so active.
When I took them off, you could tell like they didn't have the normal form of underwear. They were all like saggy baggy. Like,
help me. Help me. All right. That's a legit bottom of the cob. Saggy undies. Saggy bottom biscuit holders. Well, mine pales in comparison, and I feel bad because this has nothing to do with you and I'm not gonna make eye contact. Vegetables at Thanksgiving. I know that's your entire Thanksgiving.
No, they're the worst. Okay. No, but they're the worst.
I catered my whole Thanksgiving for my whole family, and I wanted to make sure for like my one uncle who's kosher, you have to have sometimes without butter. So I was like, I'll just get some sides, and that part's almost irrelevant because I was just getting stuff, and I was like, you know what? I'll get roasted root vegetables and green beans. No one ate.
No,
so expensive. Nobody fucking wants it. They
no.
want marshmallows.
Carbs.
They
want carbs, and cornbread. If you like meat, they want meat. Honestly, yeah. This year I did a broccoli cauliflower vegan cheese bake, and that was actually kind of fun. Like, that was good.
Sounds good.
But everything you make, it gets soggy. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants it, because everything else is better. I'm with you. And that string bean thing, I'm Jewish. We don't do that.
Wasn't a casserole. It was just string beans.
No, I understand.
String beans are not a Jewish thing.
Green beans. With the cream of mushroom and stuff, we don't know from that. Yeah.
It's like Betty Crocker,
exactly.
Middle America. No.
No, but any vegetable, you're right. I'm with you on this.
And
we were like, should we do
way.
Brussels? I'm like, I'm not. The only thing I'll do with vegetables is like, I make butternut squash soup. All the vegetables are pureed. They're sweet. Everybody eats them that way.
My aunt does a butternut squash soup every year, and I think people tolerate it. I happen to love it. And this year I was like, there will be no soup. We're going right for the good stuff. I didn't do the soup. I have been eating out of a thing of root vegetables since Thanksgiving
because I bought so much. I had some of these cornbread stuffing and mashed potatoes and yams and vegan roast today for lunch.
Yeah.
At work.
It's almost like, oh, you want to cater your family? Well, you're going to eat it.
And then the broccoli and cauliflower, which literally my older son loves it. So he had some. No one else touched it. So I got a whole tray of it.
I am down for like a cauliflower pizza.
I put it in the freezer and I was like, can you freeze cauliflower? Let's find out.
If I were doing you a favor and taking you home today, I'd come in and get some.
You are, because we're closer to my canyon than yours.
I have to go home. We'll take you to my house.
No, but it's out of my way. I'll just Uber from here. Don't worry.
Okay.
Not an ad for Uber.
You could afford an Uber helicopter.
What?
Just so you know. Like, I got off the phone with you. You're like, can I get a ride?
And I was like, we're literally by my can't. I'll just.
We're going to talk about
fine.
It. I don't want people to know where you live.
Yep.
Mayim Bialik, tell us what times we can find Big Bang Theory. I'm just kidding.
I honestly don't. I think, I don't even, maybe Thursday night?
It's literally on almost every channel that syndicates every night on CBS.
You can't not watch
every
it.
Every channel, every iPad, everything.
But I will say, I have a website called Grok Nation where I do a lot of my writing.
And
I have a YouTube channel.
It's better if I plug it.
Oh, go ahead.
She's got a website.
I do Stitch Fix. You do me.
She got a website called Grok Nation. She tackles difficult questions, fun questions, scientific questions. She's got a YouTube channel with over 3 million subscribers. You can find her on Instagram, at Mayim Bialik, Grok Nation. You can do all these things. She's a fascinating, fun person, not just to follow, but to be friends with. Don't be jealous.
Aww.
And I love you.
I love you, too.
And
this was great.
Yay.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.